This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
It's pretty narrow.
It's getting more and more narrow.
Yes.
And just a little bit about how you do it. Are you drawing out there, or are you photographing, or like how did you make that painting?
Well, first I have to see it. I'm not good at making things up. And by that I mean,
I don't know, those dogs in doing all the crazy things they were doing, that had to have been made up.
Well, not much.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I have to base it on reality. In other words, that's where I have to start, because I find that in reality it's crazier usually than I can make up. So it's my point of view. It's how I have to look at it. And so I look at it. I'm out there at the site. I walk around it. I touch it. I feel it. It's a very hands-on introduction to any subject matter that I do. And then I will do sketches. And how I start the sketches is to break it down into shape. And then value.
And is that out there, or was that
out
in
there?
It was out there.
Because
okay.
It's usually a time of day, and I'll try to go back to that time of day. There's something about light, the shadow, or something that gives me another shape that I want to use. So then after that, I will go back to the studio and draw again to the size that I want to make the painting.
Mm-hmm. And these are pretty big paintings.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And these are 48. And they're all rectangular, so they're 48 inches high by 60 inches wide. That's a favorite size of mine. I just love that size. So I decided, well, I'll just make every painting for this show that size and just love it. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so a really, favorite painting or whatever is King's Valley Barn.
Yes.
And are there two versions, or is this just... Were there two versions, or were there was just a detail of a painting?
Well, it's really three.
Okay.
I started...
So there's three paintings on that barn.
Actually, there's four. I already sold the first one.
Right on. Very good.
But it started with the barn scene. And of course, barns are such a loaded imagery for, you know, being really trite and a real sinkhole to get into with as a painter to make it cute or... you know, too saccharine and all of those things that go with that particular...
Your painting is nothing like that.
Yes, right. But
by the way, we should tell people, blackfish.com, right,
yes.
Is the website. And then your own name, you have a really great website, and that's, what is it, roumagoux.com.
.com, yes.
Right. So we can see images that we're talking about.
Yes.
All right.
And I just had my webmaster put up the paintings from...
No, it looks fantastic. When I got to your site, I was like, whoa, there's everything I need. So a little bit about this barn.
Yes. Well, it's an old barn. I was raised on a farm in the Willamette Valley until I took off after high school. And these old barns are there just melding into the ground. Nobody seems to knock them down or clean them up. They just sort of up there. And as a kid, I used to play in them with the one warning from my father. He would say, watch out for some of those boards. They might be rotten and you'll fall through. And the other one
he
was...
He said that and then you went your way.
Right? And then they said, you know, there might be an old well in there. And there were at times old wells that were covered and you didn't want to fall in that. But there was something mysterious. You know, you couldn't wait. Maybe there was some treasure. Or there were bats. I mean, you never knew what you were going to find, and rats. Mm-hmm. So based on that nostalgia, which is another pitfall that one, as myself as a painter, that I really try to guard against, I decided, well, how can I, paint this image that I felt so very strongly about? So I started it with away from it, where you saw the entire barn, and then just worked up as close-ups.
Very interesting.
Yeah, so I just took it up and up and up. And each time I did it, I thought, wow, I like this part of what's happening. What if I were to take it the next step closer? What would that image look like?
Well, what I think is interesting, too, is there's that black part. You see the interior of the exterior and the interior of the barn at the same time, because
yes.
You have this black hole there with this light, this stream of light. And it's so minimal how you've done it, but you absolutely understand what you're looking at.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. And that I was so excited to be able to get. And that was what I would remembered as a kid, looking up into the rafters for any kind of light so I could see how to go in further into these darkened spaces. And then I thought, oh, wow, that is such a great abstract shape. The mm-hmm. rhythm, it's like music. It has a rhythm to it. So it was very important that I got the same kind of daylight and had those shapes.
You had to go back at the same time all the time.
Yes, yeah.
Wow.
So those are... And then you're right. I really do like to play off Renaissance space and two-dimensional or more abstract space where it's not deep. But to also use that black space, which is, again, another real pit for me as a painter, so that the dark doesn't show as dead.
It did not at all. Right. It was completely integrated.
Right.
Yeah, completely integrated. It's very successful painting. Let's just talk about, remaining siding.
Okay.
This is a painting. Is that part of that barn? Or
yes.
This is like, tell us about this.
Well, that's when you get up really close and as these barns disintegrate. This barn is way over 100 years old. So as they're disintegrating with dry rot, et cetera, in the wet valley climate, the parts of the siding start to fall off. Wind, storms take it off. And so these are fragments of the side of the barn itself. Mm-hmm. So that was my intention, was to go up and see what I could do with that, again, worked compositionally, but didn't just say barn.
Right. Yes.
And stayed pretty close to the color of the wood without being cute about it, mm-hmm. you know, where you get to fussy. I guess would be
yes.
a better word. So, yes, so that was the fourth and final version of that barn.
Nice. Huh. So I think this is actually, I want to talk to you about other bodies of work and what have you, but I think this is a good time to address art and politics, and you are the mayor of Newport.
Yes.
How fabulous is that? So... So, first thing, these paintings are a part of that, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I continue to paint and make art no matter what. I've always had to support my habit. I've always had full-time jobs, or I was teaching or doing uh-huh. something. So, and at the same time, I've always been very politically active. From a kid, I was raised by parents who were. And so...
You mean like in the 60s they were participating in?
Oh, yes. And my parents were much older than normal parents. So okay. they were in their 40s when I was born.
Okay.
But this had been, my father established the first environmental Keep Washington Green. And this was before people even thought about green. Uh-huh. And he also was very much for... shall we say, labor unions and, mm-hmm. and this sort of
almost
thing.
Dirty words these days, but let's
dirty,
just say it
right out.
You can say it on cable.
Right.
Labor unions. Yay.
Right. And also in getting farmers, we were, of course, raised on a farm, so we were a farmer, and that was to get marketing so farmers work together in cooperatives mm-hmm. rather than letting big seed companies and also fertilizer companies dictate and take a lot of that money out. So we had, I don't know, people who have been here in Oregon forever will remember Senator Wayne Morris.
Yes.
Well, uh-huh. he came to our house several times, and I was always a gopher. I joined like Young Democrats before it was, it was this kid, and took and helped candidates around. So I was always around election and candidates.
So you saw the process. When you decided to run for mayor, you kind of knew what you're stepping into.
Yes, and my father ended up serving 3 terms as mayor of Independence, Oregon.
Huh.
And so his environmental, he was appalled at the dirt and slime that was in the Willamette River and uh-huh. worked to get with Monmouth to get sewer plant established and to get water and to get parks. That park that's right downtown Independence, right next to the water, is one he got started.
So But what made you, like, at that, I mean, you've been around a long time. What made you decide to run for mayor at that moment?
Well,
it's been about over a year now, right?
Right, right. Yeah, I was elected in November and took office in January. I was...
Oh, you're still a newbie here.
Right. Oh, am I ever. And so it's a very steep learning curve. I was already a member of the Newport City Council. I ran in 2010. Uh-huh. And I ran because of the infrastructure. And in cities all across this nation, you know, water, sewer, just the keeping the nuts and bolts of what do cities do for the population, what's expected with their tax money. And this has not been taken care of, roads and all, you know.
Oh, okay. So you were looking at all that and saying something must be done.
Right. I was, I wanted to be a part of making that better. But what started me was there's a large plant in Toledo, it's a Georgia Pacific paper plant, and they have effluent from their plant that goes 5 miles under the ground and comes out at Nye Beach in Newport. Mm-hmm. And that's been going on since the plant was there. Well, their particular contract with Newport ran its course, and I wanted to be a part of renegotiating that, and then to get the science there to see what had happened over those 60 years in sediments, how it had affected shell life.
So it was very important to have the right person there then, because of this juncture with Georgia Pacific.
Right. And so that was how I started, got in, ran for city council, and if you'll believe this, won by 8 votes.
Right on. Cool.
And then
mayor.
Yeah, served 2 years. And then the reason I ran for mayor is that no one was going to challenge this one guy. No one else was going to file. And I couldn't stand it. I thought, I'm not going to be a citizen of this town and just give the mayorship without somebody challenging him. So 20 minutes before the deadline for filing for mayor, I filed.
Wow.
I was not liked by many people.
Wow. You're listening to KBOO Portland. My name is Ava Lake, and this is Art Focus. If you want more information about this radio show, you can go to kboo.fm/artfocus. And especially if you go with the schedule and just keep going back on Tuesday, you can see all kinds of interviews that I've done. Almost everything's up from the past 3 or 4 years that I've been here. I'm talking today with Sandy Rumagoo, who has a show called Threshold that's up at Blackfish Gallery right now. Blackfish is in the Pearl. They've got their own website. She's got her own website. You can look at images we've been talking about. The artist also happens to be mayor of Newport. And so this is kind of interesting. She took office in January, but at the same time, I mean, a lot of these paintings are 2013. So at the same time, not only were you like reinventing yourself as a political person or continuing your mission anyway, mm-hmm. but making all of these paintings, was there a lot of crossover for you? I mean, were you bringing your politics every day into everything else or?
Yes. I paint, if I don't work in the studio, you know, it's probably a good institution would be where they would put me. I find and my husband, after many, many years of marriage, knows if when I've been away from the studio too long, he says, don't you think you need to go up there to paint? Mm. And so to me, there's a direct connection.
Mm-hmm.
The image, it's how I paint that I think is, I'm a gestural, very visceral type of painter. Mm-hmm. So I throw myself literally into the work. And yes, there is crossover all the time.
I'd like to ask you something now, you know, because I've heard some people say, I mean, this is kind of a debate. Art and politics, they don't like. I mean, some people love art and politics, but they tend to be in the art world a smaller contingent to the art view that they don't mix successfully. What do you think about that?
Well, I think they do, but I think it's a very individual decision for every artist. Mm-hmm. I will say that in graduate school and during my MFA program, they said narrative art was, you might as well go out and stab yourself because you didn't want, you know, please don't do narrative art.
It's amazing.
Yes. And then the other thing was that if you go into political art, you had to be so careful because the message would overtake your work.
Uh-huh.
I have decided when I do political themes, and some have been overt. I mean, I tackle religion, and I also, the environment, politics. But this is what I tell myself. Now, whether I succeed or not, who knows? But I think if I do the craft of painting, the craft of art, that I can get away with a lot. If it's mm-hmm. done really well, mm-hmm. it locks it in a way that is not when it's not done well.
Well, you know, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, the really great political arc, I'm just thinking like Barbara Kruger.
Yes.
Right, say, or the Russian avant-garde.
Yes.
Or John Hartfield.
Exactly.
When it's done well, it's the best.
Yes.
It can be completely, you know, successful on every level.
Right, right.
Yes.
And so it takes a lot of thought. What's been interesting on the art that is more with religion, I've crossed the boundary to people in religion who have asked to do work with me. So now I do duo shows.
Talk to us about that. When you say religion, what are you taking on?
Give
us examples.
One of the shows that I had at Blackfish, not this last one, but the one before, was called Genesis, and took on the story of Genesis with the man who is now the bishop of the ELCA Lutheran Church of Oregon, and he wrote poetry, and we worked together. We wanted to be able to talk to one another. I, as an artist, coming not in what they call a church background, mm-hmm. and he, of course, coming from the church. Could we meet? Could we have a dialogue? Could it make any sense about my image and interpretation and his? And I thought we put together a really exciting, we did a chapbook of it.
So he wrote and you did images.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What was right. the name of this?
Genesis.
Genesis.
Yeah.
All right. And but you also did another book, Heavenbound.
Yes.
Yeah. Talk to us about, I mean, I saw the images for that Heavenbound. How sweet. It's what's going to heaven. No?
It happened years ago.
Oh really? This book?
Yeah, Heavenbound happened years ago, and I did that with a poet named James Fleming, uh-huh. who on the 16th, I think, is going to be interviewed and
he's going to be here.
Fated, I'm not sure, in Clinton Street somewhere.
Oh, okay, all right. Yeah. So he's in the news right
now. Yeah, he's in the news right now. Uh-huh. And he and I met one another in Newport, and he comes out of a background as a Portland cop. He was a detective here forever and then moved away, and his politics and mine meshed. Uh-huh. And then we started talking about his poetry, which he's been writing forever. He's been on the Oregon Poet Society, whatever. I'm sorry to be so ignorant about their organizations. But anyway, he and I started talking. He says, well, why don't we collaborate on a book? Mm-hmm. And so I chose 20 paintings. My paintings were already completed, but he had been around watching me as I painted.
Oh, okay. So then the idea was paintings came first, and then he did the writing.
Writing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then it was really nice that Dr. Henry Sayer wrote the introduction to
and this
the book.
Book is still available. You can still buy it online.
Yeah. And not online. I just brought up some more copies to the Blackfish.
Okay, yeah, they're, great. Right. So during the time that you're having your show.
Right. Yeah.
And all of that.
Right.
So, there's a couple of things that we haven't covered as we're getting towards the end. The dog, how did that happen, doing the dogs? And by the way, people, when you look at these paintings, it's not like dog portraits.
No.
That sounds like, there's nothing wrong with that business and what have you, and lots of artists are doing, and people want their dogs painted, but this is not what you're doing.
No. I am a dog person.
Me too.
And I can't imagine my life without them. So that being said, the dog is a great foil to hang anything on because of their nature of so accepting, loving, not judgmental. So I can use that essence to pin anything on. You can make them religious, you can make them in any situation, and you can carry it off if you are pretty true to the essence of the dog. And that's what every dog I paint is a dog I know. They may not look like that, but they may, that's their personality, the essence that they have. So,
So I was looking through your bio, and didn't you at some point do like what I'm doing?
Yes, that's exactly right.
You did, right?
Yes.
The arts considered.
Yes.
Talk to us about that.
Well, there is a small radio station in Newport run by a woman, Cheryl Harrell, who owns the station. And it is located, the station is located down in a bunker. If you've ever been at the corner of Highway 101 and 20, down in that, in the basement of that parking and also shopping center is a bunker and a radio studio.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, it's all free, as you know.
Uh-huh.
You're not paid, as most of these positions are.
That's right.
And this woman asked me, because of my being in the arts in the area for so long, she said, would I do a show? And I said, of course. But it got really to be kind of a drag when you have to get, you know, guests in every week. And
tell me about it.
Yeah.
It's work, baby.
It's work. You know, this is not easy. My hat's off to you, Ava, for doing this. And it's so needed.
Thank you.
So thank you for doing this.
It is needed because artists, you know, need to be their own advocate. And also, like, there's just not enough art reviews out there.
No, there isn't.
No.
So I did this for many years and then just couldn't do it anymore and kind of weaseled out of it. But now I'm back once a month as the mayor. So I have to go on with the mayor's show. And
the mayor's show. So how's that? Going for you?
Not nearly as much fun. Because you can say things through art I can't say as the mayor. So there's no symbolism allowed, I would say.
So now then, let's just talk. This will be our wrapping up here. So you came to your mayorship as an artist.
Right.
Do you think people were very, very, they knew they were voting for an artist? Did that help you? I mean, because you, as you just said now, I was able to say things in art that it's more difficult to say in just words as a politician.
Yes. And I did worry about that because my reputation isn't as well known because I show in Portland. If I were, no one will hang my things in Newport.
You can't do everything. It gets complicated.
Yes,
people don't want you to wear too many hats.
Well, not only that, but I think the subject matter might have been a little too steep for some of them to deal with.
So it's like you've got a couple of separate lives.
I got separate lives.
Interesting.
But, yes. But I had like the Oregon League of Conservation Voters and a few really supportive groups in the area. I won, but not by a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that says a lot because people, I've never pretended to be anything other than what I was.
Mm-hmm.
And am, and that I still won, I think, says something about it. But you're right. People have a hard time because the stereotype of the artist, it's just,
we're
kind
of dumb.
Shake it.
Stupid like a painter, as Deschamps said.
Yeah. And it's like, what would you know? You know, you're, hey, man, what's happening now? I mean,
it's true.
And so now they were caught. Well, they kind of now think I'm the funky mayor.
Uh-huh.
And
I can play that for a while.
Yeah.
Sounds like fun.
Well, and the other thing, I'm only the second woman that's ever been the mayor. The first one was in 1979.
I think we got a book coming out on this. I think this is going to be a book.
Yes, and especially the next
really
chapter.
Interesting story for you.
Yes, it is.
Yes. Yeah. Well, Sandy, I'm going to wrap this up.
Okay.
Thanks so much for being my guest. I had a great time.
Oh, I did too. Thank you for having me.
Sure. So Sandy Rumagoo, she's got a show that's happening at Blackfish. You can go to blackfish.com and get more information about the show. It's running the whole month of May. Want to let you know that Joseph Gallivan will be interviewing next week, and then I come back in 2 weeks, and I'm going to interview Cynthia Lottie, which I'm so excited about. So she, you know, has
one
done...
One of my favorites.
I know. So I've seen her do drawings, and then she did these kind of collages where she like crumpled up the face, so it was a photo but a sculpture at the same time. Then she did ceramics, and now she has combined them all, unified them all at PDX Contemporary Art. So this is going to be a really interesting interview. And then I'll be off for a couple of weeks, and then later in June I'm interviewing Heidi Kirkpatrick.
Great.
So I've got a beautiful future. Again, Sandy, thanks so much.
Thank you.
You're listening to Art Focus. My name is Ava Lake, and I'll be talking with you in a couple of weeks.
You're listening to KBOO Portland Community Radio. Yeah!
A Mayan pyramid dating back 2,300 years was bulldozed in northern Belize to extract materials for road building construction, Guardian reported. Archaeologists discovered the destruction last Tuesday. Though the Nahuel complex wasn't the most well-preserved, it was unmistakable and one of the most important sites in northern Belize. Archaeologists are shocked at the apparent disrespect, and police are investigating for possible criminal charges. Famous professor and speaker Cornel West has been touring the UK this month and speaking out against Britain's and the US's inherent problems, particularly where President Obama has gone wrong. Though West did campaign for Obama, he was quickly disappointed, calling him a quote-unquote weak centrist and saying he is too closely tied to Wall Street. Though Obama invoked Martin Luther King Jr. while campaigning, West says he hasn't lived up to that name, having a killer list and drones drop, and not speaking out about the industrial prison complex. Obama's administration calls West quote-unquote un-American. West will end his tour of the UK in London. He spoke at Portland State University this past January for Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Oregon is now in the top for burdened families, with one in four families facing hardship due to rising housing costs this year, according to Statesman Journal. About 26% of working households, which are identified as having worked more than 20 hours a week, are paying more than half their income for housing, according to the Housing Landscape 2013 report from the Center for Housing Policy. That's 3% higher than the national average, ranking Oregon with New York, California, and Florida. The reason? Income is not keeping up with rising housing costs. Seattle high schools won a small victory after the school district announced they would not be administering the measure of academic progress, also known as MAP, standardized test, to students next year. This past January, teachers at Garfield High School led the boycott on the MAP test, saying it was not an accurate representation of students' progress and a waste of time and money. They were quickly joined by parents and students, as well as teachers from other high schools, which led to international attention and support, according to Common Dreams. The MAP test, which is administered 2 to 3 times throughout the year, will now be optional for high school students, but is still required for kindergarten through 8th grade students. This is Desiree Garcia with KBOO News.
May 10th, 2013, Station Navigator Report. If you're interested in being on the board of directors for the KBOO Foundation, the candidate packet is available online at kboo.fm, or hard copies are available at the station. Deadline for applications is June 28th. For those listeners who missed the public meeting Saturday, May 4th, there is a written transcript and an audio file available for your reading and listening pleasure online at kboo.fm. Last but not least, save the date for our birthday kickoff event, Breakfast with the Boo, featuring fruits, nuts, and flakes, Saturday, June 1st, 9 a.m. to noon, at the Matt Dishman Community Center. Please join us as we celebrate our 45th year with pancake flippin', bluegrass pickin', and birthday card makin'. Thank you so much. Have a great week. This has been the Station Navigator Report. Lynn Fitch.